Springfield, and for the Seventh Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have an admission.
Good morning. Please record, my name is Josh Vinson. Last fall, we accepted a block of six CJA cases as part of a pro bono initiative at my law firm, and Ms. Heather Lodick is one of the associates at my firm who volunteered to work on those cases. Heather is a graduate of the University of Illinois, where she was in the top 10% of her class. She went to law school at DePaul University, where she was a finalist in the national trial competition in Indianapolis. She is very highly regarded at my firm, not only for the quality of her work, but also for her honesty and integrity, and it's with great pleasure that I would move for admission this morning.
No, I got an argument from you from DePaul. DePaul graduate. So. We're pleased to admit you to the bar of the Seventh Circuit. If you approach the clerk and be sworn. Thank you. First case for this morning is United States versus Rainey. Ms. Holda.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Heather Lodak, and I represent the defendant appellant in this matter, Mr. Kenneth Rainey. Mr. Rainey was charged in a two-count indictment with traveling in interstate commerce to engage in a sexual act with a minor and for attempting to manufacture child pornography. The jury convicted him on both counts. We're here today to ask you to reverse Mr. Rainey's conviction for the attempt to manufacture child pornography and to remand this case for a new trial. Mr. Rainey's right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures was violated in this case. The major issue before this court today concerns how we should limit the extent or scope of a consensual search so that the rights designed to be protected by the Fourth Amendment are indeed protected. Essentially, what happened in this case is Mr. Rainey signed three consent to search forms. The consent to search his residence limited the scope of his consent to evidence in the nature of child abuse or child erotica. The officers seized several photographs of adult pornography depicting Mr. Rainey engaged in sexual acts with an adult woman. Now, the standard used to determine the scope of a suspect's consent to search...
Did you say that was his ex-wife? Is that correct?
It was also his ex-wife, yes. The standard used to determine the scope of a suspect's consent to search is how a reasonable person would have both understood the language describing the scope of that consent and what an objectively reasonable person would have understood as the exchange between the officer and the suspect.
Let's look at the bottom line for just a minute here, because at best, the photos that were admitted in this case would demonstrate that he has the photographic equipment and the ability to take pictures of himself, as well as the desire to obtain photos of himself engaging in sexual activity with other persons. But how could that have prejudiced him when all of the other evidence established that so much more directly? In other words, his email statement that established his desire to take such pictures, the new picture of himself which he emailed, you know, establishes that he was willing to be part of. Of such a photo, and his actions in bringing the camera, purchasing, loading the film, all of that establishes that he was willing to act on it. So, given all of the evidence, how can we say there is a reasonable probability that he would not have been acquitted but for the introduction of the adult photo?
Thank you. again, I would look at the evidence, and I would definitely say that he definitely had camera and film in his car. However, these are extremely benign items that people carry with them at all times. People often carry with them. I don't think those would necessarily evidence his intent to do this type of activity with somebody else. He mentioned his email communications. He stated several times in trial, and in, actually not in trial, but in the email communications, he made up several excuses to not meet with Dina, such as he had car problems and his dad was in the hospital and he was sick. So there was basically, the evidence showed a large ambiguity regarding his intent in this matter, so that would be my answer.
Was he encouraged to bring the camera by the person portraying Dina?
She did ask him on several occasions in the email communications. She basically reminded him to please bring the camera, even though he hadn't suggested it on other occasions. Your Honor, the problem we have with this case on a Fourth Amendment basis is that there is no objective connection between the possession of adult pornography on one hand and child abuse or child erotica. One who possesses adult pornography is neither more or less likely to possess or manufacture child pornography. People who possess this are not more inclined to possess child pornography. An objectively reasonable person would not consider adult pornography, which could be something as simple as even a Playboy magazine or a Hustler magazine, to be within the scope of a search concerning child abuse or child erotica. Also, in all fairness, an objectively reasonable person looking at a consent form would look at the plain meaning of those words and would realize that child abuse or child erotica means precisely that, a depiction of child abuse or child erotica.
Okay, Dick, are we looking at this under a plain error standard?
This is a question of law, so we're looking at it under a de novo standard. There's also nothing about the circumstances surrounding Mr. Rainey's consent that would have caused him to think the consent included anything beyond specific depictions of child abuse or child erotica. When Mr. Rainey signed the consent to search, his understanding of the situation was that the officers were conducting an investigation of child exploitation only, which again has no objective connection to adult pornography. Mr. Rainey also had no opportunity to object to the continuation of the search that was beyond his consent because he was not physically present at the time the officers were conducting the search.
Now, let's see if you can help me with this. It is my view that the photos are prejudicial, but can we say as a matter of law that the prejudice outweighs the probative value here?
I think we can, Your Honor. I think if we don't, it would essentially rule Rule 403 meaningless in this case. What happened in this case is you have four pictures of adult pornography put on a video screen in front of the jury. They're up on a video screen for about 5 minutes. Again, a picture is worth 1,000 words. This had to have influenced the jury. It had to have inflamed the jury against Mr. Rainey. You have pictures of Mr. Rainey in the photos. These are the only photos we have of Mr. Rainey right on the screen in front of the jury. Also, the possession of adult pornography is legal. It doesn't prove any proclivity to create child pornography. So again, it seems that the...
We have a few of these cases today. Am I wrong in saying that he had sent her a photograph of himself nude?
He did, Your Honor.
Right. So we have that as well as the ones where he's engaging.
Right.
Okay.
Rule 403 would be rendered meaningless if the district court's decision to admit the adult pornography is not reversed in this case. I also like to mention that the plain view doctrine simply does not apply to this case. The plain view doctrine is intended to apply to the ability of the government to seize items whose incriminating nature is immediately apparent. The government has stretched the plain view doctrine beyond the scope of what it is intended to encompass in this matter by arguing that adult pornography somehow fits under the plain view doctrine because it is relevant to Mr. Rainey's intent to manufacture child pornography. This court has repeatedly recognized that an extremely tight connection must exist between the evidence seized under the plain view doctrine and the crime. This tight connection is not present in this case. What we have in this case is adult pornography, which is perfectly legal to possess. Legal items take on an incriminating nature under the plain view doctrine when they are either an instrumentality of criminal activity or when they are fruits of a crime. Adult pornography does not have the same type of nexus to child exploitation as ammunition, for instance, does to crimes in which guns are used, like drug dealing or armed bank robbery. Adult pornography simply cannot be an instrumentality of a crime or a fruit of a crime. In U.S. v. Cooper, the police obtained a warrant to search for cocaine, and they instead seized a .38 caliber ammunition box. This court upheld the admission of the empty ammunition box into evidence because weapons are tools of the trade of drug dealers. Similarly, in U.S. v. Bruce, the defendants were indicted for armed bank robbery. The police seized 6 shotgun shells, and this court upheld the admission of the shotgun shells into evidence under the plain view doctrine because the shotgun was used.
How do we deal with the fact that he also sent photographs of children?
It turned out, of course, they were his sons.
So it wasn't just the adults, was it?
Are you saying he sent photographs of his sons?
Yes.
To Dina?
That's at page 20 of the government's brief. A stack of photographs, which included the original full frontal nude photograph of Rainey that he sent to Dina, as well as the homemade adult pornography and photographs of children, which were later determined to be Rainey's sons. The record, 52 at 130 to 132.
Yeah, that must be what the record shows, and I don't recall. My recollection is that wasn't sent, but I'd have to look at the record.
Well, they found
again.
A stack of at his home where they found the adult pornography. Is that where they found also 2 photographs of his sons?
Yes. It was found in his residence. They found everything in his residence.
And I gather Judge Rovner says there were also some sent then to what page is that?
Page 20.
I also wanted to add that an item's incriminating nature is apparent when it is the fruit of a crime. This court's decision in U.S. v. Walton shows that this is the case. The defendant was convicted of armed bank robbery. This court upheld the seizure of U.S. currency that was not named in the warrant because the police found the money wrapped with the label National Bank of St. Anne, which is the bank that the defendant robbed. I just wanted to say that in this case, the adult pornography is simply not evidence of a crime. It's not an instrumentality of a crime. It's not the fruit of a crime.
It does, isn't it, though, however, the fact that he had the camera and a film and so forth, and he had previously obviously taken pictures of himself and his wife, doesn't that show what the purpose of taking the camera was for? And can't you tie it in that way?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Again, when you have a consent form, the standard looks to how a reasonable person would have understood that language. A reasonable person in Mr. Rainey's position would have looked at the plain meaning of the words and would have understood there's no objective connection between possessing adult pornography and child pornography. It's irrelevant whether the adult pornography showed his intent or not, because again, it goes back to what an objectively reasonable person would have understood by the consent to search form. In the alternative, Mr. Rainey's conviction should be reversed because the indictment was defective in its charge of the attempt to manufacture child pornography. In a nutshell, our position is that Mr. Rainey's conviction pursuant to 2251 A and D should be reversed because the plain language of section 2251 A does not make it impermissible to attempt to manufacture child pornography. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Hamilton?
May it please the Court, Carrie Hamilton on behalf of the United States.
Before you start, Ms. Hamilton, let me draw your attention to what Judge Drone referred to at page 20. As I read it, that's disjunctive. You didn't mean to indicate that they sent photographs of the children to...
That's correct, Your Honor. The only photograph that was actually sent to the undercover was the full frontal naked photograph of Mr. Rainey himself. The pictures of Mr. Rainey's children were found within the stack of photographs containing the adult pornography. The consent to search at issue in this case was a consent to search the entire residence and all containers contained in the residence of Mr. Rainey's home.
Look, is there any argument in this case that the woman in the photos looked like she could be a minor?
That argument was never made. At the time the photographs were seized, the agents obviously did not know who she was. But when the photographs were seized, the agents certainly knew that Mr. Rainey had sent numerous communications indicating his interest and willingness in taking the sexually explicit photographs of the...
It's not my question.
I'm sorry, yeah.
My question is, could she possibly have looked like a minor?
The ex-wife. It's hard for me to answer that question. I know what the photos look like. She, to me, appeared to be an adult. But I guess the only way I can answer that is that when the photographs were taken, there's no evidence that the agents believed the woman depicted was a minor.
So if not, how can we then say that lawful photos of two consenting adults were in the nature of child abuse or child erotica, or were incriminating in nature? So obviously an adult.
Based upon the circumstances of the case known to the agents at the time. What the agents knew was that just days prior, Mr. Rainey had sent emails, very explicit emails, about precisely the kinds of photographs he wanted to take of him and the 14-year-old girl. The very things that he described in those communications were depicted in the photographs. They showed his ability to be able to make photographs of that nature, his interest in doing so, his interest in keeping them. In addition, the agents had found a camera loaded with a brand new roll of film in his car.
I understand all that, Ms. Hamilton. That was my very first question to Ms. Wolbeck. What I'm saying to you is this. If there is no argument here that that the woman in these photographs is an adult, how could you ever say that a photograph of two consenting adults are child erotica or in the nature of child abuse? The photographs, not all the surroundings.
The photographs, because they were homemade adult pornography depicting the defendant engaging in precisely the same acts he indicated he wanted to photograph with the 14-year-old, go to his intent.
All right.
They go directly to his intent. And because of that, that is evidence in nature of child erotica or child abuse.
So anytime we find adult pornography, it will go to the person's intent.
No, not anytime. There are certainly circumstances under which, for example, commercial adult pornography would have nothing to do with a child exploitation case. And there are also cases where possibly homemade adult pornography would have nothing to do with child abuse or child erotica if there were no other evidence that the defendant in any way intended to manufacture child pornography. But that was part and parcel of this case. His intent was not only to engage in sexual activity with the minor, but also to photograph it.
Did he, in his communication, did he talk about photographing particular sexual activity?
Absolutely. Very explicitly, he talked about taking photographs of the 14-year-old performing oral sex on him, the two of them engaged in sexual intercourse. And those were precisely the images that were depicted in the homemade adult pornography that was seized from his home. And it's because the highly probative nature of this evidence to Mr. Rainey's intent that the photographs were properly seized under the consent, they were properly admitted, and it was also not ineffective for his counsel not to move to suppress it. And just to clarify one thing, when the photos were published to the jury, they were not published for 5 minutes. They were published for approximately 5 seconds or less. Although,
as... Does it make the difference?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe it does. That was one of the things we were ordered to do by the district court, and we're glad we did, to ensure that the prejudicial effect, Your Honor, of course this is prejudicial evidence. Any probative evidence by its very nature is, in some respect, prejudicial. But there were a number of things that were done to ensure that the prejudicial effect was limited. We only published 4 of the images. They were published quickly on a video screen for approximately 5 seconds or less. There was a limiting...
5 seconds was enough for those images to be left in the minds of the jurors?
I'm sorry?
Do you think 5 seconds is enough time for those images to be left with the in the minds of the jurors? Don't you think they remember 5 seconds? Should we take away 5 seconds?
No, I believe it was definitely enough, but they needed to be published in a way that it was clear that Mr. Rainey was the individual depicted in the photograph, and that it was clear what was taking place in the photograph.
Were the photographs sent back to the jury room, do you know?
I know for a fact that the child pornography was not sent back. I do not remember whether we sent back the stack of photographs or not. I just can't remember. There was also a limiting instruction given to the jury, and we were careful to argue in opening and closing that they were to consider this only with respect to the issue of his intent. Unless there are any further questions that the panel wants me to address any specific issue, the government asks that the court affirm Kenneth Rainey's conviction and sentence.
Would you just briefly talk about the attempt?
Yes. 2251 specifically prescribes attempts. Although it's not contained in subsection A, it is clearly contained in subsection D. Subsection D includes the punishment language and says that anyone who commits, attempts, or conspires to commit these offenses shall be punished for at least 10 years. And that, because subsection D specifically includes attempts, there's no way to say that 2251 does not prescribe attempts just because it's not contained in subsection A of that statute.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mulder?
I just wanted to say that I did misspeak about adult pornography being on the screen for 5 minutes versus 5 seconds. I meant 5 seconds. However, this is only a 3-day trial. I just wanted to remind Your Honors of that as well.
Do you know if the adult pornography went back to the jury room?
I don't recall at this moment. I do know that was on the screen, video screen for the jury. I just wanted to say that there was no indication that the children in the photos were naked. That's one point. The other point is that there's no way that the woman in the photos looked like a minor. She very clearly looked like an older woman. Also, the government advocates, again, for a subjective test of reasonableness in this case. Again, the test is the objective reasonableness of the suspect. It's not what was subjectively reasonable to the officer in his own mind. It's not that. I also wanted to add that this was a close case, and the adult pornography definitely, absolutely tipped the balance in favor of the government on the attempt charge. Mr. Rainey was extremely unwilling to meet with Dina, as the evidence in his email communications. Again, like I said, cameras are extremely benign items. Absolutely everyone carries cameras with them at all times. People have them in their cars. I carry one. This isn't...
Be careful. I may go down as a confession, but go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I said, be careful, that might go down as a confession.
Okay. I also wanted to add that Mr. Rainey had a bathing suit in his car. Again, this just basically demonstrates the ambiguity regarding Mr. Rainey's true intent.
He wanted to go swimming?
Maybe he was going to go swimming. Not everything else.
An interesting thought.
Also, I wanted to add that there was nothing exotic about these photographs of Mr. Rainey engaged in sexual activity. It's garden variety sexual photos, oral sex, just simple.
Is there such a thing as a garden variety in sexual photographs? We're fingering different gardens. I get to go out planting if I want to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the assignment to both of you. You did an excellent job representing your client. Thanks to both sides. The case will be taken under advisement.